suspicion, we can refer you to over 300 of the best. Call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Good morning. You're listening to Happy to Help on Hunterdon Chamber Radio. This is Nicole Smith, and I'm your host today, and we are talking to Stacey Urich. She is a friend, neighbor, Basking Ridge mom, and we're going to talk to her today about her business and how she helps women, helps people, does all kinds of amazing things. And so I'm going to just jump right in, Stacey, and welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Can you just give us a little bit of background about, did you grow up in New Jersey?
I did grow up in New Jersey. I've been here we moved here when I was like 18 months old. So yes, almost 50 years.
Right. And your background is audiology, I think, initially.
So my degree is actually speech pathology and audiology. And I always thought that I was going to work with the hearing impaired community. In high school, I worked at a school in Mountain Lakes called Lake Drive, which is one of the very few public schools in New Jersey for the hearing impaired and the deaf. And I was fluent in sign language, and I just loved it. So I always thought that that's what I was going to do. So I got my degree in speech pathology and audiology, and I did all of my practicum work with the hearing impaired. And the opportunities just didn't present themselves, but an opportunity to work with the autistic population did. So I ended up working with the autistic population instead for 3 years at a school called the Developmental Learning Center, which is right here in New Jersey.
Okay, wonderful. And then tell us a little bit about how you, what brought you to your coaching practice and your website and your workshops, and tell us a little bit about what you're doing today and how you arrived at your helping others.
Sure. So I think I've always been in a helping profession, right? So working with autistic children, and then I ended up leaving that, and I had gone into business with my family for 17 years. And it was a business that I owned with my brother and my dad, and what we did was we helped people find jobs in the technology industry by creating a training program that kind of helped people reskill and then worked really closely with them to help them find new employment. And that company we had from 1997 until 2012. So during that time, I really worked with hundreds and hundreds of people on them starting to kind of see their best selves and finding ways to present them their best selves, whether it was online or interviewing skills or what have you. So I've always had this love of working with other people and helping them kind of overcome any kind of mindset issue that is in the way of them getting to where they want to be. So fast forward, that business closed. I helped another good friend kind of revamp her small business with that skill set, but I always found myself still coming back to a position where people were coming to me for advice, wisdom, guidance, and I found myself doing that so often. And a few years ago, I was in a workshop, and the guy was talking about taking your hobby and making it into a business, and it's this helping of people and being an avid listener and giving advice based on my own personal experiences has just been such a great gift. And so in the last 18 months, I've been more formalizing that and putting that into practice as a business.
Right. And you said the magic word, mindset. So how did you come up with flip your mindset, and what was the background that said, okay, this is it, this is what I'm doing, this is what I need to call it? What does it mean to you?
So flipping your mindset is something that just kept coming out of my mouth, you know, because that's literally the way that I saw it. I would be talking to somebody and they would literally flip the way that they saw a challenge. And I think you know, I personally have had a lot of challenge starting at a very young age. And I learned a lot through those challenges. And that's usually where the wisdom and the guidance comes from. It comes from personal experience. I myself learned how to flip my own mindset in adversity. So whenever I would work with a friend or a colleague or a family member, they would say, "You totally flipped the way I saw that problem." And it just, that, it was just a play on words. It just kept coming through. And I also found that people were changing the lens through which they saw adversity, but it also prepped them to see that adversity is just common. And so if I could really get them to see adversity is always going to happen, if you can just approach it from a different point of view, you're going to have so much more peace.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite words is perspective, right? Perspective is everything. It's all about where you're coming from, how you're looking at it, how you're reacting to it, how you're channeling it, and how you're, you know, are you letting it go? Are you letting it fester? So it's nice that you, you're able to help people see things from a different angle and move forward, right?
Yeah, and really the goal is whenever I work with somebody one-on-one, I always make it really clear that my goal is really to be providing them with like a toolkit. And so when they come up against the next thing that would normally derail them, that it's almost like a meditation practice. You know, it's like I've gone through this practice with Stacy so many times on how to look at the situation differently. To me, it always starts with the language that you use, making people intentional and purposeful with their language and getting them to audit themselves all the time. So as soon as they get to a position where they're feeling that funk, that the first thing that they do is instead of sitting in the funk, they start auditing the thoughts that they had in order to create that funk. Because we have control over our thoughts, and you can't have a feeling without a thought. So when I can get them to really understand that, the actual true science of the way your brain works, and get them to understand they have total control over the way that they see and talk to themselves about a situation, they're going to end up with a feeling that's better. And in my personal opinion, that's where personal peace starts to come in, because then everything kind of flows out from there. So if they can start learning that technique and then be able to put it into practice when they're in adverse situations on their own, hopefully it's one of those things where they can't unsee it. Now it just automatically becomes habit.
Right, which is, it takes practice, it takes guidance, and we all have those negative internal loops that we play over and over, you know, right? We all have them, and breaking that is hard, and making new ones is harder as well. And I always tell the people that Brian Tracy always had this saying on one of his tapes that I used to listen to, and it's, you know, your mind grows weeds naturally. Like the negative just comes through. It doesn't require water or sunlight or any of the, or feeding. They just grow. So it's, you got to weed your own mind. You got to weed out those negative loops, right?
You do. And you know, a lot of times it's really interesting. I had this call with someone earlier this week, and I use social media for everything to really try to give people some perspective without ever having to work with me. And, to me, those thoughts often come from core beliefs. And I don't know if you're familiar with Don Miguel Ruiz and the Four Agreements, but it's such a powerful, very, very small book. But this whole concept of our beliefs come from agreements that we've made. And so often those agreements and those beliefs come generationally to us. That it's actually a lot of work to break that cycle. And so when you talk about having those negative thoughts, sometimes you really have to start thought shopping and say, where did I come up with that to begin with? Is it something I actually really agree with? And if it's not, what does feel authentic to me? What does feel like a really true belief that I can stand behind, and then be able to work from there? Because so often we're taught the things that we believe, and we're taught those things by somebody else who had maybe a different life experience. Mm-hmm. So yesterday I was talking about ancestral trauma. And of course today is the Remembrance Day of the Holocaust. Mm-hmm. And you know, when you talk about people who have come out of the Holocaust, the trauma that they saw, Then they end up getting married. They end up parenting from a traumatic space. And then now that person that they parented has been parented through trauma. Mm-hmm. And now they have to parent. When it finally gets to the person that says, I want to break that cycle, it is very hard to do, but it is very possible. And sometimes I work with people in that space.
Yeah, no, that's good to know. Well, and I know you quoted the book by Viktor Frankl.
Yeah.
Right? And it's on my list to read. Actually, I got it for my daughter for Christmas because she was wanting to read it. So, why don't we just segue a little bit into your book club, right? Don't you have a book club on Facebook, like self-help books, and you do meet once a month, or how does it work?
Actually, we just launched it in January, so I'm really excited about that. And that just came out of me brainstorming, how can I best serve people in a variety of ways? So when I was looking at how I was building out my business, I was like, you know, there's just going to be some people that don't want to work one-on-one or attend a workshop, but there's still so much that you can get from just being in a community of like-minded people. And this is now actually the third book club that I've launched using self-help books. The first was just a really small group of just three or four of us. And it really came out of me wanting to read the books. We were talking about accountability before. And me wanting to be held accountable to finish it. So I said, oh, why don't we pull these three people together? Let's just read the books together because they're intense. You want to have someone to be able to talk them out with. I then ran a very similar book club for an organization called Heartworks.
Oh, yeah.
Which I'm sure you're very familiar with.
Megan's going to be on, yeah.
In March.
Yeah.
Awesome. So I started the book club at Heartworks many, many years ago. And I ended up kind of passing it off just because I had too many things on my plate at the time and it was time for it to be passed to the next person. But it was the same concept. So what I'm bringing now is virtual. So this is the first time I've done it virtually. And what's happening is every month I'm throwing two books out for people to choose from. So the first two selections for the month of February were Daring Greatly by Brené Brown and The Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz. I let them select the book. We did a little poll. Everybody picked Daring Greatly. So what I love is what I did was I created a Facebook group. It's called Chicks Who Read. And I literally didn't know what to call it, so I just threw it out.
It makes
there.
Sense. You get the gist, yeah.
And what I like about this concept is there's so much that can happen in just the discussion outside of the book club itself, right? So we'll meet once a month via Zoom. I'm really not quite sure how that's going to go off because we haven't done it yet, but I have good intentions. But what can happen inside the group is just as powerful. So like yesterday, I found some TEDx talks that I love by Brené Brown, and I put that out there as a precursor to the discussion to get people interested. And when somebody comes up against something in the book that maybe they're struggling with or is even an aha moment for them, they can share it there and there can be a discussion. So I know there are people on that page from England, California, Australia. Timing-wise, they may not be able to get into the actual meeting, but I still think that they'll benefit conceptually from having this group of like-minded people that are all kind of on the search for like that same meaning in life.
Yeah, I love that. And I know on your website, too, you had said that you were never a huge reader growing up. And I was the same way. I wasn't a huge reader, but I was always a doer, right?
Yes.
A doer. So you just said you scheduled it. I don't know how it's going to work. I'm just doing it, right? And but now I'm much more of a reader. And since my involvement with Room to Read for the last decade, I've definitely become more a reader. And I'm just going to give a shout out to our Room to Read event, which is happening tomorrow night on Zoom. It's our Room to Read New Jersey Quarterly Book Club, and I've got a young woman. She's a double engineering student at electrical engineering student at Bucknell University, and she's released these two books called The STEM Diaries on circuits and things. And she's going to be interviewed by a Bucknell alum, Suzanne Sarah, who runs a ginormous all-female law firm in central New Jersey. And so it's on the Facebook page at Room to Read New Jersey, and you can listen to us today or watch us on Facebook Live at Happy Hunterdon. And then before we go to break, I'll let you give everybody your website and how to find you if they want to check it out.
Absolutely. So I have a website. It's called Flip Your Mindset, based on what we talked about earlier. And there you can find free resources, webcasts, and books that I recommend. But then I also kind of share a little bit of a perspective of how you can work one-to-one, or there are different workshops that I'm running there as well.
Right, like the resilience workshop coming up. So we can talk about that in a minute, but we're going to go to a quick break.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
You're listening to HunterdonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located at the historic Large House, 119 Main Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programs.
Good morning. This is Nicole Smith. I am the host of Happy to Help. We're on Facebook Live today. You can find us at Happy Hunterdon or Happy to Help. And today we're talking with Stacey Urig. She is a mindset mama, and she's the owner, founder of Flip Your Mindset. And we were talking about resilience. I mean, obviously that word is, you know, pivot, resilience, all these words have been thrown around a lot because everyone needs to get on board and figure it out and figure out how you're going to survive and thrive. And you've just recently done a workshop on resilience. And so why don't you tell us how that went and when your next one is, so people want to jump on board.
So this is a workshop I had run in person, right? So you talk about resilience. I had come up with this workshop after actually developing and delivering a 1-hour talk at different networking groups over the course of 2019. And I just knew that what I was delivering in 1 hour, so many people would come to me and say, wow, that was such a different perspective. I had never thought about that. That what I was covering was just a little bit of what was in my head. So I started taking a poll from people. If I were to extend this and make this into, say, 3 hours, would you be interested? And I just had like a great list of people ready to go. So I started running those at the beginning of 2020. And so when you talk about resilience, and we were talking before about being a doer, I mean, I had it listed out. I had every single location where I was going to host it. I was working with different places. I had my calendar ready to go. I developed and delivered it. I got great feedback. And then the whole thing came to a screeching halt because of the pandemic. And so I just kind of assumed the pandemic would be like a 5-6-7 month thing. I just figured I'd put it on hold. I'd revamp it. I'll bring it back. And then what really happened was in August, I had stepped so far away from it that I felt very unfulfilled. And so I started taking, we talked about auditing before, like a personal audit, like what's missing from my life that used to give me that fulfilled feeling. And I realized it was helping groups of people that way. So I decided to start working with a coach, and she challenged me to revamp that workshop and offer it online, which I had convinced myself couldn't be done. So I did it. I launched it actually last Sunday. And, you know, the whole premise around the workshop, it's called The Road to Resilience, is this. We all have had challenging experiences in our life. We all have stories, and those stories dictate everything we do in our lives. And what I know is that if you can change the language from which you see the story, and you can start seeing as happening for you versus to you, everything changes. And I have this deep personal philosophy that life is a series of experiences divinely designed for you. And so when people can come into the workshop, if it's a large group, we break into small breakout rooms. If it's a smaller group, we stay together. But you don't have to. But most people end up getting pretty vulnerable and sharing, though it's not a requirement. And when they start sharing their story, there's an empowerment in being dissed, right? Like, there's an empowerment in, like, feeling, like, righteous. Like, this happened to me. And there's actually a badge of honor that people wear as being, like, a survivor of something that happened to them. And when I can help them look at the language that they're using and help them pull back the layers on all the benefits that came out of that experience, as horrific as it may have been, they can start to actually see how it worked for them and that there was a gift in the challenge and a purpose in the pain. And what I love is just watching the absolute breakthrough and transformation in somebody, that aha moment when they say, oh my God, I have been running with this playbook of this story for the past 5, 10, 15 years. And I totally have a different perspective on how this benefited my life. And we go through an exercise in which we actually milestone out a variety of different types of experiences that require resilience. Sometimes we think it's only the negative experience, but even being an only child for the first 4 or 5 years of your life and having a sibling come into the mix requires resilience. Leaving your mom's hand and going into kindergarten the first day requires resilience. And so what I try to do is help them see, by having them map out milestones in their life, that they've been resilient their whole life. And often, like, when we do this experience, I'll say, how many things were you able to write down? And they'll say 35. And I said, how many of them required resilience? 32, 30, 33. And they all of a sudden have this aha moment of, wow, life really is just these obstacles designed for me so I can learn how to overcome the next challenge. The whole purpose is, you know, you're going to come up against more challenge because that's life. Now you can actually approach it with that toolkit we talked about with a totally different perspective. And that, again, leads to that personal freedom and personal peace. Who doesn't want that?
Absolutely. And what that made me think of is, you need to recognize the resilience that you've already had or done or been through, and then continue your road to resilience, right? Moving yes. forward. And yeah, those are two powerful prepositions, right? For and to, are they prepositions? I don't know. Conjunction, junction. But that's amazing. Right?
And I when I do the workshop, I have some slides that I show, and I show them these sentences where literally the only word that is different is for or to. And that's why I always go back to language as being one of the most powerful things that we can either use for us or against ourselves. And your language will automatically determine if you feel like a victim in a situation or a thriver and a survivor. But that in and of itself actually dictates how you approach other things in your life. So for example, if something negative happens to someone, it's not uncommon for somebody to say, of course it happened. These things always happen to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's self-defeating. It's creating self-defeating a pattern.
Now,
yeah.
And if you believe that what you put out, you get out, and what you put your energy to, you get more of.
You attract it to you.
Now you're starting to attract it. Versus saying, oh gosh, here's another one of those hurdles. Okay, let me take a deep breath. This one looks like it's going to be a little bit more challenging. I wonder what the gift is going to be at the end of this road. And don't get me wrong, there are some people that go through some things that are so horrific, and sometimes I'm a little worried that people are going to knock on my door and want to slap me across the face and say, there's no way in there's just no way that that was to benefit me. Sometimes you're not going to realize the benefit for years, decades. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you're going to sit back and go, oh my gosh, had I not gone through that experience, I may not have had a connection with this person who's so personal and important to me in my life. Or I wouldn't have learned this about myself. Or I wouldn't realize. Or when somebody else came against a similar challenge, I was actually able to help them.
Yeah.
So sometimes people don't understand when I say there's a gift in every challenge, but I truly believe there is, even if it's just the smallest of ways that you can help somebody else down the, you know, down the road.
Yes. It reminds me, I was flipping channels and they've been showing the reel on PBS of the anniversary of Woodstock and everything. And so they were saying how all the different issues happened and how amazing it was. But one of them was there were definitely a lot of young people doing drugs at this event. No big surprise. But they said they had this group and they had this tent and then people would come in and they would help them and stuff. But then when they kind of got through their nirvana or whatever they were going through and they were kind of coming back to normal, they said, okay, there's someone else coming in and that's what you looked like 3 hours ago, so now it's your turn to sit with them. Like, I was like, oh my gosh. I mean, just, you know, simple things of human...
And I think that is a good example. And here's the thing. If you were to boil it down at the end of the day, all people want is happiness. But really, happiness is just, it's an event. What people really want is peace, right? And personal peace comes from that personal freedom, right? We all just want to be seen who we are, be authentic. And I think that when people talk about purpose in life, they think it's supposed to be this big, ginormous thing, you know? And it usually revolves around like your title or like your job. But I really do believe that everybody's purpose in life is to just be human and to be connected and to see everybody else as human and connected and know that your purpose is just to pay it forward or to always be a helping hand and just be moving that humanity forward. All the other stuff is literally just a distraction to see if you'll stay on that path of just being a good person. I don't think that life is really intended to be anything bigger than that. And sometimes when you get into a position of power or a philanthropic position where you can help on a greater scale, that's great. But the reality is I really think our goal and our purpose in life is to really just be helping each other live our best lives.
Well, that's the premise of this whole show. Happy to help. Well, and I was going to say, one thing that I've been posting about lately and talking about is like, you know, everyone's like, well, I don't know what my purpose is. I don't know what I'm good at. I don't know what I like. And you're searching for purpose. And so I flipped it and I said, maybe you don't really know what your purpose is right now, but find your people. Find, you know, a group to work with, a book club to join, or somebody to connect with. And then it'll reveal itself if you just kind of let it marinate and let yourself be and interact. And, you know, that's what happened to me.
I can't think of the pastor's name right now. I can see his face, but I can't think of his name. But he said something about when you find your passion, you'll find your purpose. Mm-hmm. And so often when people say, I'm so lost, I don't know what my purpose is in life, one of the first things we do is we just start cataloging what are the things that make you, that fill your gut. Like when I did my audit in August and I was like, something feels like it's missing. What fills my gut, what fills my core, what makes me feel fulfilled is helping people on a deeper level. You know, not just a one-on-one conversation, really working with somebody 2-3 months to really get them to that point where they can fly, right? And know that they always have like a nest to come back to. So when people talk about their purpose, I love to just sit back with them and say, well, let's just talk about the things that make you tick. I think what happens is people get so stuck because they've started a path and now they feel like they're already on this very well-defined path and it may require them to really step back and like completely change course, and that's not always easy. You're not always going to get full support from everybody necessary around you in order to make that shift. So then people stay on a path, but it doesn't make them feel very fulfilled or happy. And then what's the purpose?
Right. Well, sometimes you're fulfilling expectations, right? Like everyone in my family's been a doctor, or, you know, my mom always wanted me to be a lawyer, or that, you know, I mean, there's a lot of noise out there that sometimes you follow, you know, that makes sense, or yeah, I don't know what else to do, so I'll just do that. Or, you know, that's human nature. I want to go, you talked on your website about that you've got this natural intuition to hear people's stories even when they aren't sharing them. So can you tell about when you kind of discovered that or realized that and how that works?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, I think it was very interesting. So somebody sent me a quote yesterday that had to do with people who go through challenging experiences or trauma as children kind of end up coming out as two different types of people, either very empathic or very narcissistic. Mm-hmm. And it was a conversation that was going back and forth. She had sent me this quote, and she said, "I know you're an empath." And I think it's so interesting because you can have two people go through the same experience and come out changed in very different ways. So here I was as a young child going through some very challenging experiences. And what it did was it made me super empathic. It made me very, very in tune and aware of when other people were going through challenge. I think I didn't want them to feel the same pain I felt, so I was kind of always in this helping role. To get more spiritual, I think that there is also like a deep line. Like my mom will call me and say, "I was up at 2:00 in the morning. I can tell something's off. What's going on?" Like she thinks she has like this like ESP channel, but she's seeing that I have something very similar. And what I'm learning is that my grandmother had it, my great-grandmother had it. Like, there's just this deep intuition. So, like, when somebody was saying something to me the other day about a challenge that's going on in her life, I started asking questions like, "Tell me about your grandparents. Tell me about this." Because I could start to see a bigger picture, and she was surprised that I was starting to ask those questions, but I could start to see in my mind that her challenge was actually just this trickle-down effect of things that have happened way outside of her grasp. But it all makes sense. So I just have this gift of being able to listen. That's why I call myself this avid listener. And hear the unspoken things that people are saying. And then based on my own experiences and the wisdom I guided from that, there just seems to be like this little powerful gift, and I just love to share it with other people.
No, and it's so nice that you are and that you're now formalizing it into a business. But I think we all, to some degree, because we're human, we all have intuition of some way, shape, or form. But I think part of the problem is we're always, nobody just wants to sit in silence anymore, especially with the phones and the radios and the TVs and the kids and the this. And I go through so much of my life in silence. Like in the car, a lot of times I don't turn on music. I don't turn on the radio. I don't, even when I exercise, I don't, you know, I mean, and you have to find your own personal space and best. Like, you know, I know people love listening to books on Audible and they love listening to podcasts like this one, but I mean, you know, you gotta, like everything else, it's balance, right? It's all about balance.
Yeah. And I do, you know, being in this pandemic and, you know, your husband's working 24/7 from home, your kids are home 24/7. Sometimes it's hard to find that space and that quiet. And it's interesting because when I find myself feeling that anxiety, that weird sense, like in your solar plexus where you're like, something feels off. That's what that always says to me. Like something feels off. Things are not in alignment. You know, we all have options, right? So we can either eat that away, we can drink that away, we can numb out on Netflix. Like there's so many different things we can do. And I found myself the other day feeling in that space. And I just thought, I just need to sit in the quiet. So I went and I put this like charcoal mask on my face. I pulled my hair back and I have an acupressure mat,
oh, nice,
which is incredible. And I just laid the mat down on the floor, and it feels, it's strange. It feels like you're lying on a bed of needles or like nails, okay, but it does something inside your body to like move the energy flow. And I just laid there and I turned on a meditation from like YouTube for like 10 minutes. And I just let everything come down. And I think that that's one of the best things we can do, especially in a pandemic. Self-care is so incredibly important. And sometimes it's just a matter of shutting the door, which is what I did, and just putting a note saying, please don't come in for 15 minutes, and just finding that space. And I think, you know, you and I are kind of in a nice space because our youngest is sixth grade and they're somewhat self-sufficient.
Mm-hmm.
I see my sister has a 1-year-old and a 3-year-old.
I didn't see it.
She just put her hands in her head. Like, it's a very different experience. And finding those 5, 10, 15 minutes, my sister would literally have to shut the bathroom door and she'd probably still have somebody pounding on it, right?
Yeah. But I used to do that too, though. But you can still lay on the floor with your little kids and just let them crawl all over you and they're not going to run away or do, you know? I mean, it still works. I mean, yeah. I did it all the time. I just would lay in the middle of the floor and they would be walking around or crawling or toddling or falling or whatever. And I would just, I mean, that's how I recharged when they were little munchkins.
How many kids do you have?
5.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, no, I mean, I did it because I was exhausted, and but they're not going to go anywhere or do anything, and they just want to be near you. It's not, you know, I mean, and yeah, and then I call my parenting style benign neglect, which is a thing, because I mean, if the more you do less for them and leave them to their own devices, then they develop their own resilience and entertain themselves,
this is one of the big. The big discussions I have with a lot of the people that I work with that are parents who have stress about their children feeling discomfort. And, you know, when people work with me, they get me, and I am a many things, and one of the things I can be is very blunt. And I'll say, look, why are you trying to avoid them feeling pain? What's the benefit?
I
see way too many children in a worse off position because they don't know how to manage adversity. And they don't know how to manage things that are challenging. But you're not doing your children any favors by not allowing them to feel discomfort. That discomfort is designed for them. And if they go through the challenge and they go through the discomfort, it's what helps them evolve into the next phase of their life. You're not supposed to be the same person at the end that you were at the beginning. A big thing that we talk about in these workshops or when I work one-on-one with people is this concept of good and bad. And I love this. We've been kind of indoctrinated, right? Like Disney, whatever, to think that all of the experiences that we go through in our life that make us feel good, those are the good ones. The birth of our child, getting married, like all of these things, these events are positive. But anything that comes across us that gives us discomfort or pain is labeled bad. And the problem with that is that those experiences, those are the ones that cause you to crack wide open, pivot, evolve, transform, and change. At the end of the day, those are the best experiences for you in your life. But when we continue to call them bad or negative, we don't see them as a gift. And so we start to categorize it. So whenever my kid has an adverse experience, I try really hard to be mindful of my language and not say, I can't believe this horrible thing happened to you, because it automatically sends them a message that they shouldn't experience hard things.
Yeah, well, my mantra is, life is not fair.
That's right.
That's what my kids get. I'm like, sorry, life is not fair. Get on with it.
But you know what? But we have children similar ages. How often do you see other parents who are literally bending over backwards to set up these scenarios so their children don't experience adversity or pain?
Yeah. No, I know. Parenting is hard to begin with.
So
and now there's probably too many books and too, you know, I just, again, go with my gut, you know, kind of raise how I was raised. It's not perfect by any means. And I also saw on your website, I swear profusely like a sailor. And
okay. I swear I wouldn't do that on this show and I certainly will not, but I did say to my sister-in-law coming here, I was like, oh gosh, help me. Like, please don't let me drop an F-bomb because.
No, it's totally bad. Well, and it's funny because so when I joke with my husband because he just, it really, it's his pet peeve that I swear too much. I'm like, well, it's my only flaw, which is not true at all. But anyway, it's just, you know, it's, but life is not fair. And the one thing I have hanging in my office is, growth begins beyond your comfort zone.
And that's
right?
It.
That's it.
And again, I plead, I literally want to plead with parents, please do not throw the parachute underneath them. You know, that padding underneath them, don't give them the parachute. Let them figure it out. We're going to build a better generation of more resilient kids. And when you don't have the resilience, it's a scary thing.
I know. That's my other mantra, figure it out. You know, life is not fair, and figure it out. All right. Well, we have another little commercial break, and then we'll be back with Stacey.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
For over 50 years, Hunterdon Medical Center has been a leader in delivering comprehensive medical and health services to our community. Our staff is committed to providing the highest quality of care to our patients. If you need a physician, we can refer you to over 300 of the best. Call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org. When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Good morning. This is Nicole Smith, and you're listening to Happy to Help on Hunterdon Chamber Radio. We're on Facebook Live at Happy Hunterdon, and today we're talking with Stacey Urig. She has a website and a business called Flip Your Mindset, and she does so many things. She's very active on social media, and some of the hashtags that she uses that I noticed are look good, feel good, do good. So we're all about helping others here at Happy to Help, so we're going to kind of focus on do good and what that means to you and how you think that helps people.
Sure. So on top of being a mindset flipper, I'm a serial entrepreneur. So, you know, we talked before about, you've got certain people that are just doers, right? So about 5 years ago, an entrepreneurial opportunity fell into my lap. And it was really quite simple to be a distributor of skincare. And I didn't honestly really want to do it. I had really no interest in it. I just liked the skincare and wanted to get it at the best discount. But something transformed over, of course, it's been 5 years now, where I learned how to utilize that platform to, again, fill that bucket. So when you talk about auditing the things that fill you deeply, I've always had this deep sense of giving back. And one of the great benefits of having built this stream of income was that I had quite a bit more of it than I had had prior. And so what I really wanted to do was find a way to be able to take the benefit of that and give it back. And so I tried to figure out, how can this fit in what I'm doing, where it's truly, genuinely authentic to who I am? You know, it's not just some fluffy whatever. So I kind of did a little bit, I use that word audit a lot. I did this audit of like, what is it that I do? How do I serve people with this one business? And, you know, it's very strange, but, you know, one of the things on my business card says confidence builder, mindset flipper, avid listener. I've had so many people in the last 5 years tell me how their life changed because of skincare, because they felt more confident in their skin to be able to go out authentically just as they are, which sounds crazy, but a lot of the times it's people who have sensitive skin or acne, or their child has acne. And I learned through that experience that when people look better on the outside, they feel so much better. Or for me in particular, it was more, I wanted to be represented on the outside the way that I felt on the inside, which was just a lighter glow. I felt like in my 40s, I just felt dull and tired, right? So I learned this concept. And so I had this thing of like, it makes people feel good when they look good. And what I realized from that is this, the whole concept of like, how full is your bucket? And when our bucket is the most full, it can only go in one place, and that's to overflow into other buckets, right? And so I came up with this concept of like, when we look good, we feel good. When we feel good, we do good. Or when we look better, we feel better. And when we feel better, we naturally do better. And so what I did was I got into this mission of encouraging people to think that way. Like, now that you're feeling better, what can you do with that extra flow? And so on my part, what I ended up doing is I ended up making a commitment on a monthly basis that a certain portion of my proceeds would go to benefit an organization that kind of fit under an overarching desire for me to help people in be more equitable. I feel that there are way too many people across the entire country, in New Jersey included, that are not getting access to things that everyone should have access to. So, for example, one organization that I work really, really closely with is the Center for Great Expectations. I'm sure you're familiar, out of Somerset, New Jersey. And I've been working with them for 19 years.
They were on the show.
Oh, yeah. I love Peg. I've known Peg for a long time. And when I first started working with the Center for Great Expectations, it was a much smaller organization. They just had space for 9 people in Somerville. They didn't have what they have now. And the whole idea was helping women who were pregnant, drug addicted, and homeless. And, you know, nobody should be homeless. I believe drug addiction comes from a much bigger place, usually from a place of history of trauma. We get back to that ancestral trauma. Mm-hmm. You know, it's much bigger than just somebody picking up a needle or somebody deciding to do a drug. It doesn't work that way. And what I loved was that they came to it from a very trauma-informed place. So I work really closely with them. So to get back to that feel good, look good, pre-COVID, I might have an event at my house where I would say, hey, come to my house. We're going to have cheese and wine. I'm going to have the skincare stuff out so you guys can see it and browse it. But here's the difference. I'm working this month with the Center for Great Expectations. I've asked them what they need. They need diapers and tampons. So if you can bring that with me, I'll put you into a raffle for something special. And so we would generate and be able to provide something to the center. And what it did was it gave people a roadmap to do good. People want to do good, and then they get this analysis paralysis on, well, I don't know what to do, and I don't know who to do it for, so then I end up not doing it. Right. But if I say, hey, I'm going to host something at my house, and this month we're going to be collecting winter coats. This month we're going to be collecting diapers. This month, you know what? I called the center. What they really need is they need gift cards, you know? And so I'll work with these different organizations. Another organization I got involved with was Clean Water for Newark. You know, it's a really huge crisis what's going on in Newark, as large as Flint, honestly.
Wow.
And people don't know about it. And so there are a number of, like, boots on the grounds, like, non-government organizations in Newark that are just literally trying to get water to the residents, because the residents of Newark are eligible for water. But so many people that live in Newark are not the owners. They're the renters. Mm-hmm. And so, therefore, they're not eligible. And so, again, equity, right? Like, everybody needs to have access to clean water. And so many people in Newark do not. So for me, I looked around. It actually was brought to my attention by my girlfriend, Janet, about what was going on. And I went to Costco, and a case of water is $2.99. And so I came up with this concept of, for certain months, if that's my cause, that for every order I get, I'm going to donate a case of water. I can take $2.99 of profit and do that. It's not the money, it's the effort. I engage my son because the cases are really heavy and I can't necessarily do this. And it's not uncommon for us to go grab 40 cases of water at the end of a month. That's two full carloads. So we're going to Union, we're getting the water, we're popping it in the car, we're driving it to Newark. And this is the craziest thing. They'll come and take it out of my car. It's usually associated with some sort of church. And either there's a line of people already waiting, or there are people there like that work for the church with shopping carts, and they just start going to the projects door to door, wow, asking if they need water. It's not uncommon for me to get that first set of 20 cases there, go back to Union for the second set of 20, and by the time I come back, that first set of 20 has already been taken and gone. Mm.
So simple, right? Water.
So simple. And so when I do these things, I try to really drive home, again, through social media, of this doesn't have to be hard. You know what the hard part is? It's making the time. It's sacrifice. It's saying, instead of sitting in front of Netflix, or instead of reading that book, or instead of doing this, I'm going to dedicate my time this way and engage your kids.
Oh, yeah.
100%. Engage your kids.
Yeah, that's the important. That's the key, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So I feel like, getting back to your question, when you look better, you can feel better. And when you feel better, you just naturally have that overflow to do better. And what I like to do is give people a roadmap. So even sometimes I'll run a special where I'll say, you have an option. You can make a $10 donation and I can get 3 cases of water, or I'll give you $10 off of your next order. It's your choice. And everybody always chooses the donation. They love it. So basically what it means is, if I'm doing a discount for the month and I would normally give you $10 off, you can pay it forward and I'll take that $10 and I'll go buy 3 cases of water. So sometimes I can do 60 in a month. It's crazy.
Right.
And it's a huge impact on other people's lives.
Yeah, and I think, like you said it before, quit figuring out or ruminating over what can I do, what can I do. People just need to be told what to do, and you're giving them that choice and that simple, you know, just do this.
Sometimes I'll say to people, you can drop a case of water off to my house. I'll bring it to Newark. Like, it doesn't have to be rocket science, and again, it kind of gets back to that concept of purpose. It doesn't have to be this big, huge thing. Doing good can really be as simple as opening the door for somebody.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Like, we don't need to make it complicated. And if you have the resource and the time to go get cases of water, Newark needs it. Or create some sort of opportunity, maybe when people can gather again and you're excited to see your girlfriends, have everybody over for wine and ask everybody to bring a $25 gift card instead of a bottle of wine. And let's donate it to a local organization. I've yet to meet somebody that takes offense to that or thinks that that's a bad idea. They just need somebody to provide the opportunity.
Right. And I think it goes back to your concept of feeling good and looking good and feeling good. Because if you're feeling good and feeling great, then you're not mired in your own self-defeatist attitude. And so if you're feeling good, you want to share it. You want to be out there. You want to, yeah. No, it is. It's transformative, right?
If everybody could do it, it would be such a different world. Our focus, just like you said, would be on something so much bigger than ourselves.
Exactly.
It would be a very different world.
Well, we're doers, and we're also both avid networkers.
Yeah.
And so I'm always going to things and communicating and connecting. And so you invite people to connect through your website, right? If they want to have a conversation with you, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So anybody that wants to have a one-to-one, one-hour conversation with me can. I have an access link right to my calendar, and all they have to do is go to flipyourmindset.com and just say work with Stacey one-on-one, and there's an opportunity there to just have a free call with me. Sometimes it's really great for people just to get something off their chest in a safe space, and sometimes they realize they want to do more after that. It's really up to them. But absolutely, yeah, I'm always available to have a conversation with someone.
And tell us again when your next resiliency workshop is.
So the next one's February 21st. And I'm not quite sure if I'm going to do one in March, only because I've been getting a lot of really interesting feedback from people that have taken the workshop that they would really like to see it broken into, like, not group coaching, but, like, into a course, into, like, a month-long course. Mm-hmm. And it's very doable. So that's kind of, like, my next thing. I'm going to go home and work on that today and talk about doing. But, you know, I can see how it can be broken down into 4 hours. It's currently a three-hour workshop. And I think everybody, when we get to that last exercise, is like, oh, I wish I had more time. But everybody's kind of burnt out at that point. So I'm thinking for March I might launch it as a four-week course that people can take, which might even lead to more impact. So I'm really excited. But for sure, I'm running it again February 21st. I only take 10 people in the workshop. I've already got 2 seats taken. So there's only 8 seats left. But it's done on Sunday, noon to 3. I encourage dark chocolate and coffee to be, you know, accessible. And it's just a really powerful, impactful 3-hour slot of time that can really change your life.
Yeah, I think that sounds great. And I think the course sounds good too, because, you know, you love being in the workshop and the environment and kind of in the zone, but also a course like that will give people more time for reflection. Yes. And, you know, more in depth, and then they can do it on their own pace, but also come back with more feedback on it.
I think it makes a lot of sense. And I love it. I love being open to that kind of feedback, and it makes a lot of sense to me. So I'm really excited to see how I can bring that into a place. And I think it also will create a nice connection with a small group of people that they feel like they are in solidarity and struggle as well, which I think is a very, very big thing.
Yeah, I mean, we all have something we're going through. I mean, that's life, right? I mean,
yes.
You're going through something, but it's good to have somebody to talk to, someone that listens to you, someone to understand, someone to nod. I mean, we're all craving community right now more than ever. And so there's so much available that that we can take advantage of. And go to your website, flipyourmindset.com.
Yeah.
And dig around and join the book club and make a connect
there's
with Stacey.
There's resources, there's webcasts, there are book recommendations, there's opportunities to talk to me for an hour. And then, of course, there's one-to-one subscriptions as well as our workshops.
Well, this is really fun to chat today. So we might have to have you back, because we're out of time, but I think we've got a lot of information to process, and it was so fun to have you, and thank you for your time.
Thank you so much.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
A federal judge on Tuesday barred the U.S. government from enforcing President Biden's 100-day deportation moratorium. U.S. District Judge Drew Tipton issued a temporary restraining order sought by Texas, saying the change could harm the state. CoreCivic and Geo Group, two of the largest U.S. private prison companies in the United States, could lose about $1 billion a year between them under new limits on the sector from President Biden. Biden's current order to dissolve applies to the Justice Department's federal contracts with private prisons. The order does not apply to the Department of Homeland Security and therefore not to ICE facilities. The scheduled retrial of an Oregon defendant, Pedro Sanchez, who was accused of committing a brutal hammer attack on Heather Fawcett, has been dropped, with the defendant to walk free. The key witness in the case said she won't testify without wearing a face mask. The defendant's defense team had insisted on Sanchez's right to meet his accuser face to face. USA Radio News.
We've all heard it. Eat healthy. But what does eating healthy mean? Sure, there are countless diets out there, but they contradict each other. Yet all experts agree we should eat a diet rich in fruits and vegetables. Whole fruits and vegetables are the perfect fuel to power the cells in your body, giving you the stamina you need to handle your day-to-day activities. And that's what Balance of Nature is. Whole fruits and vegetables delivered to you in a convenient capsule form for only 22 cents a serving. Our proprietary blend has no additives or fillers, just the full nutritional value of a variety of 31 different fruits and vegetables. Balance of Nature provides you with a natural energy boost without a caffeine crash, a 3 o'clock slump, or an early bedtime. Experience the Balance of Nature difference for yourself by going to balanceofnature.com or by calling 1-800-246-8751 and use discount code USA.
The American right to bear arms is being practiced a lot, according to recent sales. USA Radio News' John Clemens has more.
With so much fear of tighter gun control measures from the new administration, coupled with the pandemic,